Psalm 62, we're going to wrap up our study that we have been doing. And the primary emphasis is in the middle stanza. It's a three-stanza hymn that's given to us here in Psalm 62. And the central thought is, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. And this is such an important thing for every child of God to get settled in their heart and life. Who is my glory? And you don't have to look very long to see within an individual's life or a family's life who the glory is. All right? Let's just be honest. We can tell who is the glory of the family, of an individual, by the way they live, by what they put their emphasis in. And that is so important for us to understand, to be honest about it. Honesty today is it's an important character trait that's missing. Just simple honesty. Cannot face things honestly. We have to curveball it. We have to change it a little bit and say, well, we got this circumstance, that circumstance. That's why the way I am. Well, wait a minute. Is the way you are correct? Is it right? Is God really your glory? Or is it someone else or something else? Now, tonight we're going to look at the third stanza. Because the third stanza, typical of Hebrew psalms, typical of most music, hymnody, is that the third stanza kind of captures the thoughts of the first and second stanza, but then elevates and takes us to the final understanding of the truth that the psalmist is seeking to communicate. Now, I mentioned that verse 7 is the central theme of this psalm, but I want you to see what's built upon that theme. Once I get it settled that God is my salvation, that God is my glory, that God is the rock of my strength and my refuge, how does that impact my life? How does it affect my thinking? How I process things? You know, we want to have a thankful spirit all year round, not just on Thanksgiving Day, all right? I think that's one of the misnomers so many times as well. We have an official holiday to Thanksgiving. Yeah, but we have official holidays for just about everything else too. Groundhog Day. Really? We've got a holiday. And so what happens is it's losing its meaning. And Thanksgiving has lost its meaning. Boy, I want to tell you something. Back 100 years ago, Thanksgiving was something that everybody stopped for. It was a time of quiet, not hubbub. But now it's just hubbub and crazy, and everybody is thinking about one thing, and that's Black Friday. That's gotten bigger than Thanksgiving. The day we're going to go out and spend a lot of money on things we want to get. Now, that's not what our focus should be on for Thanksgiving Day, is spending all of our time planning for the next day. It should be focusing on the things that we are grateful for. You know, every time I go to Baghdad Cemetery, there's a number of individuals, young men, that are buried there that fought in various wars. You'll see from the Civil War, Spanish-American War, from the World War I, World War II, you'll see Korean War, dead that are all through there. They're not here at Thanksgiving time. They gave every ounce of their being so that you could. Are we thankful for that? Are we truly thankful for the sacrifices that other people have made? But then, let's go beyond all the human aspect of it. Let's go to the Lord Jesus Christ, who left the glories of heaven and in obedience to the Father came to this earth, bore the separation that came between He and His Father that had never been known throughout all eternity. That separation that came whenever darkness came upon all the face of the earth. Can you imagine that day as Jesus hung on the cross and the darkness came over there as He bore our sin, past, present, future, in His body on that tree, and then gave up the ghost so that you and I could sit in this service tonight and listen to His Word. Think about that. Every one of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ has a testimony of how we came to faith in Christ. I had the wonderful privilege of speaking to someone last week, and they shared their testimony. It was just remarkable how God worked in their life to bring them to salvation, to bring this individual's wife to salvation, and then be able to lead their children to the Lord. And I just sat there listening, and all I could say was, to God be the glory, great things He hath done. It wasn't something that humans dreamed up. It was what God did in this individual life. Now, God is our salvation. God is our glory. God is our strength and our refuge. Now, how does that play out? Notice verses 8 through 13. I'm going to read from what is known as the Complete Jewish Bible. This is a Hebrew translation, an English translation of the Hebrew by Dr. David Stern. And I have just found it most instructive. I do some of my devotions out of this particular thing because he goes to such detail concerning especially the Psalms, bringing out the Hebrew. And I want you to listen as I read verses 8 through the end. Verse 8, trust in Him, people, at all times. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. All right, now keep that in mind, for us. That phrase is repeated in the names of God, as we're going to see. Ordinary folks are merely a breath, and important people a sham. If you lay them on a balance scale, they go up. Both together are lighter than nothing. So, you know, when you put it on a balance scale, you're supposed to seek to balance. What happens? They go up. They have no weight. So no matter what you put on the other side, it's going to go up because they're nothing. That's the picture. Don't put your trust in extortion. Don't put false hopes in robbery. Even if wealth increases, don't set your heart on it. God has spoken once. I have heard it twice. Strength belongs to God. Also to you, Adonai, belongs, now get this key word here, belongs grace. Belongs grace, for you reward all as their deeds deserve. Now, I've said this before, and I'll repeat it again. The Old Testament is full of God's grace. The problem is we're so locked in many times to how words are translated in various translations that we don't always get the meaning of the words. That word that's translated grace here, I went into it to find out the merits of this particular word because it's the Hebrew word hesed. It's plural. Oftentimes translated in our King James Bible, loving kindness or loving kindnesses or mercy. That's how it's done. But Dr. David Stern explained that hesed in the Hebrew, and he had studied this in multiple locations around the world, looking at Hebrew translations and so forth, said hesed is one of those interesting Hebrew words that can be translated mercy, grace. Mercy, grace. And the context will let you know which one to use. He said, again, mercy is God withholding from us what we deserve. Grace is God giving to us what we don't deserve. But in the Hebrew, they have both of those pictured together in hesed. All right? Both God withholding the judgment that we deserve and giving to us what we don't deserve. He actually had this image of one hand holding back and the other hand extended. And he said, that is the best visual picture you'll ever have of the Hebrew word hesed. All right? It's an extension of God's grace, but it's also the holding back of God's wrath and anger. Both of that was poured out on us at the cross of Calvary. Was it not? What was deserved to be poured out on us was poured out on our Savior. And because of our Savior's work for us, what's given to us? Grace. We can accept what He did in our place and be given stature. Stature that I don't deserve. Who deserves in here a mansion in heaven? All right? Now, I know some preachers put their hand up because they had so many souls saved. They automatically get a special mansion in the sky for that. But that's not the merit. The merit of the mansions in heaven are not based upon how good we are. It's based upon how good God is. Amen? That's the extension of grace. He gives that to us. We make the joke about when we get to heaven, some of us are going to have a shack on the back 40, and others will be living in an old yellow bus, and some people will be, you know, that's not the way it's going to be. Jesus said in John chapter 14, lo, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I come again, I will receive you, plural, unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That doesn't sound any kind of like low-end housing up in heaven, does it? We're not going to be living in a trailer park. We're going to be living in a glorious, crafted mansion made not because of our merits, but on the merits of the one who made the house. Because he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So when I come again and receive you unto myself, I'll take you to the place that I made for you. Again, the withholding of the wrath that was poured out on Jesus, and the giving to us of things that we do not deserve. Now I want to emphasize two points as we wrap this message up. God has spoken once, I have heard it twice. Now that doesn't mean that he only heard it two times in all of his life that God's powerful. He's using a Hebrew special phrasing to communicate a truth. Okay? You've heard of the expression at the mouth of two or three witnesses. So there's been two witnesses here. So at the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing shall be established. That's the idea here. I've heard it once, God spoke it, and I've heard it twice. Strength belongs to God. Also to you, Adonai, belongs grace, for you reward all as their deeds deserve. You'll notice there's two names for God used in those last two verses. God there is the word Elohim. Elohim. It's mentioned twice there. God has spoken. Elohim has spoken once. I have heard it twice. Strength belongs to Elohim. Elohim is a plural word. It's used way back in Genesis chapter 1 where it says, in the beginning, God. Elohim. We have pictured in the New Testament all three persons of the Trinity involved in the creative act. Okay? God the Father, Jesus Christ, by whom all things consist. The Bible, Paul says, He made all things. And then in Genesis, we're told the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So you see, all three persons, Elohim. But I, for the first time, did not really grasp this until I started studying the use of the word Adonai here. It's also plural. It has a plural ending, Adonai. And the indication here, Adonai is a word that means Lord or Master. And it's emphasizing a very important point here. God is not only the all-powerful Creator, the strong one, but He's also a benevolent Lord and Master. That's the picture that's given to us here. He is, and by the way, the phrases that we see for Yahweh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, comes from the plural translation of Adonai. Lord of Lords. He's higher. He's better. He is more wonderful than human lords. He is the Lord of Lords. And so in this picture, David is making a very important point. In our King James verse 11, God has spoken once, twice have I heard it, that power belongeth unto Elohim. Who do I go to for power? Now remember, read this in relationship to verse 7. He is my glory. How does that impact me? Well, I understand something now. I understand that if I lack power, I go to Elohim. And if I need grace and I need mercy, I go to Adonai. That's the picture that's given there. I go to my Lord, and He ministers grace. He ministers mercy in time of need. Folks, we have witnessed some horrendous events this year, have we not? These killings and shootings, I mean, we have violence in America that we have not seen in a very long time. And violence against children. That's what's astounding to me. The number of children that have been killed in Chicago is astounding. And then, you know, young people dying, being shot and killed. Some maniacal Walmart employee goes to the break room at 10:30 at night, pulls a pistol, kills six people, wounds several others, and then turns the gun on himself. For what purpose? He was upset. Now, they haven't pieced all the puzzle together, but he was upset. You know what the problem is? He never went to Elohim and Adonai. He tried to deal with all of his troubles within himself. Or talking to his buddies. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now, folks. If you go to your buddies and you don't go to God, Elohim, and Adonai, you'll hear what you want to hear, but you won't get what you need to get. I'm going to say that till I die. I've been telling that to young people through the years. You'll get what you want to hear. You'll hear what you want to hear, but you won't get what you need. What do we need from the hand of Elohim? We need strength for the task. What do we need from Adonai? We need grace and mercy. You won't get either one. And that's what he says here. Did you see it in those verses? Look back up at verse 8. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. That's what you're going to get. You're going to hear what you want to hear, but you're not going to get what you need. This is the glorious picture of the ending of Psalm 62. David had been run out of Jerusalem by his own son, Absalom. Here he is up on the mountain. God's provided him with the blessing of Barzillai and food abundant. But David's looking beyond even Barzillai. And he's looking unto his Elohim and his Adonai. I want to encourage you to do something. You need to go through in the Old Testament scriptures especially, and every time you see a name of God, look it up. Look it up. Oh, there's such beautiful names for God in the Old Testament. Jehovah Tsidkenu, God is my righteousness. Okay? God is my righteousness. We're taught in the Old Testament that our righteousness is no good. It's as filthy rags. It's repeated in the New Testament, what we're told that. Who is our righteousness then? God, Jehovah Tsidkenu, He's my righteousness. You could go through all the different names, Yahweh, Elohim, Adonai, go down through all the different pairings of Jehovah with other names that describe His character. You will grow and benefit as a believer as you come to know your God. It's very easy in this world today to try to get sympathy on social media. Sympathy for my problems. I go on there and I spout off all my troubles and so forth like that. And then you have the list of all the people that respond. Praying for you, sweetie. You need to go do this. Why don't you go out and get a bite to eat? Or why don't you go here and go there and maybe go on vacation for a month and you'll find everything's all. And we get every kind of answer in the world. Except what? You need to bow before God. You need to come to the place where He is your deliverer. Personal. Because you see, Adonai, the very name, it's in a plural form, but it's also, as one Hebrew scholar said, it's the name that's in the possessive. He is my Lord. He is my Master. It's personal. You remember I told you about the "for us" phrase that appears throughout this? That's pictured in that He is the Master for us. He is my Master. You know, when you take ownership of things, you treat it a whole lot better. Right? Now, you may go to a Walmart parking lot and sling your door open and knock the paint off somebody else's car. Don't you love that? You know, or somebody key your car while they're going by or something like that, because they don't care about your car. All they care about is what? Their car. And they get all bent out of shape. But you know what? When you take ownership of the fact that Adonai is your Lord, He's your Master, there's more meaning there. There's more meaning there because it's possessive. And I want to encourage you in this regard. As we seek to bring honor and praise to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we recognize these two wonderful qualities. He is our strength. He is our grace. That we have a responsibility to make sure, first of all, that He is my glory. He is my glory. And I'm going to live in such a way every day of my life from this night forward, recognizing He's my Lord, Adonai. He is my God, Creator God, Elohim. He is my glory. He is the one that is all in all to me. Folks, if you'll let this psalm saturate into your heart, I believe we'll have a better understanding of why we need to praise the Lord, because of who He is to us. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for Psalm 62. What a blessing it has been to my own personal heart and studying, and I pray that I've in some measure communicated the glory of this passage and the fact that You are to be our glory. If we can draw a line and put any other person's name or any other thing in the line that says, blank is my glory, we're in deep trouble. Lord, help us to recognize how deep that trouble is and then rectify it by erasing whatever's there and putting the name of God. God is my glory. I pray that You would work in our hearts in a powerful way, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.